Hi, Clutter Fairy fans. Welcome to the Clutter Fairy Weekly for April 6th, 2021. I'm your co-host, Ed Gumnick, and I'm speaking with Gail Goddard, professional organizer and owner of The Clutter Fairy in Houston, Texas.
Hi, everybody. The Clutter Fairy Weekly is our weekly webcast and podcast where we talk about all things organizing. And we go to all of your comments on social media in order to inform us about what to talk about. And so we appreciate that you chat with us and give us some great ideas.
If you're joining us in the Zoom meeting for the first time, you can share your comments and questions via the chat, and I'll try to make sure Gail addresses them before we move on to another topic. You can use the raise hand feature to let us know that you'd like to ask a question or make a comment yourself via audio or video. We're streaming the webcast live on Facebook, so you can also share your questions and comments there, and I'll relay them to Gail. And during the webcast every Tuesday, you can talk to us by phone by calling 669-900-6833. Use meeting ID 993-419-863 and password clutter to join the meeting. We're going to start today by following up on last week's tittle. Last week's tittle was called Prepare for Outdoor Relaxation and Entertaining. The assignment was to step outside to start getting ready for outdoor fun. We suggested that you evaluate your outdoor space, clear and clean away winter debris, check the condition of your outdoor furniture, barbecuing equipment, and so forth. Make plans to repair and replace stuff as needed. We didn't expect you to get all of that done this week. And decide whether there's anything you'd like to add to the space this year. So, Gail, did you do any of that yourself?
I did actually. The big win for me in the atrium was we had this beautiful, tall, very spiky pencil cactus that died in the freeze 100%. Just it was huge. We loved it, and we covered it with a bunch of stuff during the cold snap that happened last month. And yeah, it was
To no
dead.
avail.
It was to no avail. So I had to go out there and clip it all down bag it all up for trash and take it away. And I actually did that this week. It was wonderful. And now I got to go find a new one and start over because we really thought that was a fun one, and it really grew kind of like ice crystals. I mean, it just really kept going out and out and out. And it was very spiky looking, and it was fun to look at. So we miss it, and step one is to kill the dead one and take it away, and we accomplished that. So
Excellent. Connie reports having had to bring plants in and move other things in because it snowed. Winter is not finished with Connie.
Oh, we're sorry, Connie, but good for you that you could get them in so that you don't have to bury them and replace them when it's time to put them back out again.
And on your reports, I cleared the garden shed a little. Felt great.
Oh, that's good. Excellent. And now it'll be done so that you're not out there when it's super hot trying to clean. Somehow getting something out of the shed in the summer is not as painful as cleaning the shed in the summer when you have to touch everything. So good on you. Good job.
April says, my daughter and I went out into the yard and again picked up over 80 pieces of trash. I was surprised we found so much after the last trash pickup. Ooh.
Good Lord, that's a lot.
What an annoying project to have to keep doing.
I know. I wonder, did she say last time why that was happening? Is it's blowing over from somewhere?
I don't remember
Man,
the
that is.
details.
Well, good for you that you keep going at it because I know you don't want to look at 80 pieces of trash in your yard. That's unbelievable. So think of it as, outdoor exercise. You're getting a little exercise and you're getting a little sun and fresh air and you're making your yard look nice. And that's wonderful.
She
Good for
says
you guys.
she lives near a main street, and so yes, it's blowing in from the street.
Oh, from the street. Oh my
Yeah.
gosh, that's amazing.
Lise
Well,
said cleared the side of patio and took an umbrella and daycare train to the curb. Train was gone within 4 hours.
yay, urban recycling. We love it.
And
That's
oh, I'm
great.
not even going to try and interpret this name. It's a long and complicated name, but
Okay.
a Zoom participant said, my compost center finally opened up on Saturday, so I loaded up the car and brought 5 baskets and a trash can full of leaves and weeds gathered during previous weeks of cleanup. And Agatha reports, I did all the fertilizing and light pruning, cleaned the bird baths.
Oh, I'm sure that the birds were happy, and I'm sure that the compost center was relieved to get some weeds into their into their collection. Good job. You guys are doing great. Y'all are out there enjoying the sunshine and making it pretty so that you can go sit out there and be happy while you're out there. That's wonderful.
And T said all plants were dead, so they were already gone. I swept and straightened chairs. It's sadly empty except lights at night.
Oh, well, time to start filling it up then. You can start adding some plants. And if you really have a blank canvas like that, then aim for a way to put the plants in that are so that you can carry them in later. Like if some of the pots are too heavy, then maybe you can downsize to smaller pots or something so that it's easier when the next cold snap comes next year. Thank you, Lord, that it'll be easier to carry them in.
I didn't have to do too much because the previous, either the previous tenants or the landlord or his maintenance guy had done a whole lot before we moved in.
That's awesome.
But we started putting things on our deck. We have a deck that is lovely.
Awesome.
And we're really looking forward to the year. And we ate dinner out on the deck a couple of times already this week.
That's awesome.
Already in the last week, I should
say. What's the temperature out there right now?
60s to high 70s.
Oh, that sounds lovely.
Yeah. I mean, the nights are still getting down in the 50s.
Being cool.
Yeah.
Awesome.
Okay.
Perfect weather.
Yes, it is. Yeah. Either a lot of people are doing the homework we assigned them, or we just nailed it last week with assigning something that everyone was planning
everybody's
to
do doing
anyway.
Sometimes you get lucky, right?
Either way, I think we should take the credit.
Okay. I'm good with that.
Okay. So today, our main topic today is back to moving. It is that time of year, and I'm going to let you share the statistic on that. But like so many people, I had to move here in late March, early April again, because I had an unbearable neighbor. So we got out of our lease early, and moved from an apartment in a big fancy complex into a nice little house. It's nice, and it's also little. And so there were some complexities to the move and
adjusting.
And I understand that you are also working with lots of moving clients right mm-hmm. now. And so we decided to make moving our preparation and planning for moving our topic this week. And so we're calling this episode Moving Stories, Plans and Preparations for the Peak Season of Moves.
It is definitely move season again. 80% of moves happen between April and September. And I've got three different clients that are in the big middle of moves right now that I'm trying to either prep or pack or move. And so a whole bunch of my client work right now is all about moving. So that's why we're talking about it again. And I am reminded as I work with these people about all the ways that we sabotage ourselves when we're trying to get moved. And so I wanted to talk about, you know, lessons from the field and give you some advice. And some of these things are actually, because we're talking about prepping, they're not the actual move process as much as the prep and the project itself. Getting ready in advance. And so there's all kinds of things about that process that you can be working on for any amount of time in advance of when you actually are going to move, or right now, because you know that you may are going to move someday. And so some of these things will apply to that process as well. So we're going to go through a little list here. The first one is, you have to leave yourself plenty of time to get ready. So I have one client who is moving, and her story is that she is downsizing from the townhouse that she moved to after she divorced. She's been in the townhouse for a decade, and now she is selling this townhouse, moving to an apartment in anticipation of in a couple of years moving to Austin to be near her grandkids. So this is sort of an interim step that she's making. And as you can imagine, because she was getting divorced when she bought this townhouse, She packed up everything in a hurry. She didn't make any decisions. She was a wreck. And everything went to the townhouse. Everything that was hers and that went with her all went to the townhouse. It's also allergy season. My apologies. I'll just say that now. So in this process of getting ready and simultaneously downsizing, she is trying to thin out a whole bunch of paper, right? Which brings us to step two. So one, leave plenty of time to get ready for your move. And she's already pushed her move date back a month because she's been working on it, and she's nowhere near ready. And we've just barely started on the paper. And so she's already pushed it back a month, knowing that she's not going to make it. And she's also already, her friends have planned a week-long trip out of town to go have fun in Galveston or somewhere in the coast. And she said, do you think I can take 5 days off? And I'm like, no, no, you can't take 5 days off. No, maybe you can take 2 days off or 3 days off, but yeah, you don't have time to give away a week of your 4 weeks to get ready to go have fun. Not this month. I'm sorry. Like, yeah, you know, I'm sorry that your friends scheduled the fun in the middle of your move, but no. So I'm having to claw back time for her to make sure that she stays on task. And so you got to have plenty of time, and planning a vacation in the middle of the move, bad idea. There we go.
What you do is you plan your vacation for on the other side of the move,
right? On the back end.
Keep yourself motivated. We planned and booked our August beach trip while we were in the middle of planning and executing this move.
Well, and what's good about that is you said August, right? And so that gives you time. If something had gone wrong with the move, that gave you time to slide from May to June, June to July. Like, it gave you some wiggle room in case the move date had to slide.
Yeah.
So smart. Good for you. That was a good thing to do.
Before we get too far away from it, on the first topic about leaving plenty of time, we did things a little differently this time around. Our last move was 900 miles.
Right.
And so everything had to be packed. Everything had to go in either the moving truck or our car or away. Those were the only three choices.
Right.
This time we were moving 3 miles. So we decided not to use movers, but to do it all ourselves. But we allowed ourselves 10 days of overlap. So we're
between what and what?
Paying rent on both places for 10 days.
Gotcha.
And that would probably have been enough, but we might have gotten a little bit of a bind. But then the landlord, the previous tenants were out early, and the new landlord, who is a gentleman and a scholar, said, sure, you can move in 5 days early. So we got 5 extra days.
To get on it.
Yeah.
Which
and
is
so,
good.
Yeah. So we got started earlier, and it, you know, it's still just enough time, and we're not talking about a huge space either. We were in a 1300 or 1400 square foot apartment, and we're moving to about an 1100 square foot house.
Yeah. Yeah. So it still took you 3 weeks to get it done, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
And we expand to fill the allotted time also.
Right.
And you're self-employed. So we'll circle around to that part again too.
Right. Right. So there was a lot. Yeah. There was a lot to juggle. And yeah, when I say we moved, I mean, Jaime moved and I mostly stayed out of the way. I mean, I was there at key points to pack things,
lift
in
things.
Boxes or baskets and lift things and wish that I hadn't lifted things.
Yeah, yeah. You guys are too old for that whole moving thing.
Yeah.
You don't need to be lifting the furniture anymore. But you don't listen, do you?
I don't.
You try to lift it anyway, because that's a guy thing.
I'm a slow learner.
Okay, so that is leave plenty of time. Lessons learned about leaving plenty of time. And the overlap thing, paying rent in both places with a 10-day window is, you know, that's a good overlap. That helps make it easier to get it done and make sure it's all cleaned out and empty by the time you're ready to leave the previous place. So the next thing is you do not want to move what you plan to throw out. And the reason this one came up was because the biggest obstacle for my client that's moving, that I was just talking about, her biggest obstacle is paper. She came away from her marriage with a bunch of paper files. She prefers paper. And so she has all these paper files with client files from her business. And then she is has been saving and keeping all kinds of medical records, all kinds of work support, all kinds of reference material. She has reams of paper. And what she's been doing is, when the paper is overwhelming or when she has a category that's full, she puts it in a box, it goes in a closet. And so she has this big walk-in closet that's on the third floor that is full of boxes of paper. And it's mostly paper that she doesn't want. But because it's personal paper, it has lots of identifying data on it. There's lots of medical stuff with social security numbers on it. There's lots of, because it's not all super current, right? Like nowadays, most people edit those statements and they only show the last four digits of your social or the last four digits of a credit card or whatever. But when you start going backwards, the farther back in date you get, the more data appears on all those receipts. And so we're going through old paperwork that's just covered in all of her information and it all has to be shredded. And so she's not comfortable. The shortcut is let's just call this all medical paperwork and throw it out. She's not comfortable doing that because she feels like there is a data risk for her, a privacy risk for her as well. She is easily distracted by paper. And so she has a hard time focusing and going through it quickly and making decisions quickly, which is why I'm now on site, because if I wasn't, she would still be in the first file of the first box that she started with. And so I've been over there during my appointment time, helping her go through paper and sorting it and trying to get through it more quickly. And we're basically saying, here's paper that needs to be shredded. Here's paper that can be recycled. Here's stuff that's just okay to throw out. And we're going through those boxes and we don't want to move those boxes to her apartment because she's moving to a much smaller place, and it doesn't have near the same storage capacity. And you don't want to pay movers to pick up and carry a box and take up living space on the other end for something that you ultimately are going to go through and throw away. So this is something that you need to have in mind when you're planning a move, which is please go through everything that you think in your head, oh, I've got to, you know, that's all stuff that we're going to throw away. You need to go through it and throw it away. Don't move it. Now, what that means is she's got herself in a crunch of time and she's already extended the move date a month, like I said, because when you have only been collecting paper for a decade and you haven't been throwing it out, you have now compacted a decade's worth of paper project into one project right now. And so it's a huge labor intensive project for us to go through it all. And I'm fast. I'm very fast. I can flip through some stuff really fast. And the longer that I'm there, the quicker I am able to make decisions. I know more about her life and what's important to her. And so I can go through and get rid of a lot of paper just on the parameters of, okay, so here's all this medical stuff. And these are bills from the 90s and we can throw that stuff out. And we're just going to default to shred. And like, I can shortcut the process really in a big way for her. But then when we get to the stuff that's about her business, her reference material, there's no article that she doesn't think is super cool in her industry. And so she has saved the same kinds of information over and over and over again from 100 different angles. And she has built a reference library that she has in no way managed or controlled. So she can't actually find anything that she has. it's all just in boxes and files in the closet. And so we're finding things that she forgot that she had, that she'd really like to use with her clients now. There was a reason why she saved it to begin with. Yes. And that requires building a database of useful reference materials. And we don't have time to do that now. So we're having to go through and have her say, yes, I would like to share this with clients at some point. Okay. Then that goes in the, you know, articles database pile, and I have a folder that we keep adding these things to, because organizing that database is not in the timeline. So we have to do that on the back end. That's a project that we have to save for later. And right now we have to get rid of as much paper as possible. So it takes a lot of effort to go through and catch up on a decade's worth of time and effort that you could have spent in increments, but now you're going to do all at once. So if you have a backlog like that in your house right now, that is stuff that you have said to yourself, I need to go through that before I throw it out. I need to go through this before I think most of this is going to be trash. If you have anything in your head that you put that little label on that says mostly trash, but I have to look at it first, you better start that right now, is what I'm saying. The lesson is, prepping for the move is not the best time, and it eats up time trying to get ready for a move if you have to go through these files in that moment.
And this is where we should refer back to our suggestion from a few episodes ago, which is the jigsaw puzzle metaphor. Look for the corners and edges. Mm-hmm. Find the low hanging fruit. You know, if there's one category of stockpiled paper that you know is trash and you know there's a ton of it, in my case, that would be, you know, like client job tickets from more than 2 years ago. That's a big category where I could blaze through and remove a whole lot of volume in a short time. So, you know, I'd say look for that one category or two or three categories that are going to remove a lot of volume and weight.
And use it as the first pass, right? Like right. The first pass, clear out.
Or the only pass if time is pressing down on you.
Mm-hmm.
Anita mentioned that she's now decluttering from a previous move, and it's making her crazy that she's now getting rid of stuff that she paid 40 cents a pound to move.
Oh, right.
When you think of it that way.
That'll motivate you, right?
Yeah. And, on that same note, someone said their movers actually packed a bin bag of trash. Susan said, the last time I paid movers, they packed a bin bag of trash. So,
and that's
really,
because they're not allowed to make any decisions. Right. They're not allowed to evaluate whether it's trash or not, because you know they would make a mistake and throw out something that you think isn't trash.
Right.
And so if it's in the house, it gets packed. That's the rule.
Yeah.
Yeah, isn't that shocking? And then you come back, it's like, oh my gosh, they packed the trash can with the trash in it in a box. Like, yeah, sorry, if you're not there to tell them to throw it out, or you haven't thrown it out already, then it's going to go in a box. So yeah, and I think it's important to say, if you can't get all of it done, then you focus, just like Ed described, you hit the low-hanging fruit, anything that would reduce the volume or make a first pass so that you can at least thin it out, and then do a whole bunch of, like we're doing with her paperwork, where we're declaring this is an article that we might want to organize into a database for her to reference later. We're not doing any of that work now. And if she even remotely says this, I might want to give this to clients, it goes in that pile. And then hopefully, I'm hoping that while we're doing this, she realizes how big this file is getting. And at some point, she'll let more of them go. She's getting a little bit better about going, okay, I probably don't need that one. She's letting some of them go. And then we will make more evaluative judgments on the back end about how to create and give her an accessible database with these articles in a way that she can go find them and retrieve them again if she wants. And so that whole discussion is, that's another project that we got to save for another time. So don't move what you plan to throw out. And you know, in your head right now, oh, I got to go through that. An electronic version of that is, I have to look and see what's on the hard drive before I get rid of that computer. It's like, oh God. Okay. Yes, you do. At the very least, take the hard drive out and get rid of the computer and don't move the computer. And I have one of my other move jobs. The guy's an IT guy. So he's clearly an early adopter of all kinds of things. And he has a million computers that have the word no on them. And the word no means they're not good, they're not being used, whatever. And yet he moved into this rental house and we're getting ready to move him to the other house. And I'm like, why are we doing that? We keep having that discussion and I keep losing that one too. So yeah, if you already put no on it, then that should be the indication that we don't need to move it again. There you go. Okay. Yeah. This is also about that same client, his wife. So now the next tip is stop receiving new stuff at the old house. So particularly this past year, 2020 was the year that everybody got on the Amazon bandwagon, on the home delivery bandwagon. And so even if you weren't shopping online before, you are now, and you're ordering stuff that you never ordered before. And there's a million cardboard boxes in the house. And I have to tell this story because it just was like, it just blew my mind. So yesterday I was in their house. I was unpacking here's a shipping box. And I opened the box up, and inside the box is a carton of 12 bottles of some kind of drink that's some flavor they like, right? So I'm like, okay, so let's go put these bottles in the kitchen. We're moving in 3 weeks. Like, maybe you guys can try to drink some of these before we move. And so I opened that box. I put the drinks in the kitchen. I collapsed the shipping box. I put it in the recycle bin. I go to put something in my car, and I open the front door, and literally there is another box of those drinks on the front porch that was not there when I got to their house for the beginning of the appointment. So I am now convinced that the box of drinks self-replicated itself. When I removed it to the kitchen, it made a new box on the front porch. It like turned the button on, and suddenly there was more drinks on the front porch. I could not believe it. I'm like, you are kidding me. I just collapsed the shipping box and here is another one. Stop. So this is the perfect time when you're getting ready to move. Stop your auto deliveries. Stop adding contents to your kitchen, to your bathroom, to your life that needs to then be immediately packed up and moved out to the new house. Turn that stuff off, man. Give me a break and try to use up what you have so that you are eating or drinking or cooking with what you have in the house, and that volume goes down, because then you have to pack less and you have to unpack less. You can turn everything back on at the new house when you get to the new house, but give yourself 60 days of things stop coming. And the ancillary to this is this wife, who also has all these things auto delivered all the time, she also, in anticipation of moving to the new house, started buying things for the new house. So here's the new linens, and here's the new towels, and here's the new sheets, and here's new pillows, and here's new plates, and here's new curtains, and they're all coming to the old house. And every time I open a package, she says, that's for the new house. I'm just like, kill me now. Okay. This package should have been delivered to the new house instead of the old one. So don't start shopping for the new house in the old house. Wait until you get there, and then you can start having all those packages come to your new house, because all you're doing is getting things shipped that now you have to pay somebody to move. So you're going to pay to ship them and then pay to move them and get them. No, that is not the way to go. Just telling you.
We bought a new piece of furniture for the new house while we were still at the old house, but we made certain with the antique mall where we were buying it that they would be okay on our not taking delivery until April 1st.
Yes, there you go.
And then my enterprising brother-in-law took delivery sooner than that, but took it to his workshop and did some fixing up and cleaning up and touching up.
Oh yeah, you're a antique rehab guy.
Yes.
Who is your brother-in-law? That's cool. That was nice of him.
He did a beautiful job.
And that's a lovely, you know, that's a lovely housewarming gift.
Yeah,
it's a house. Generally, you know, it's one thing to get the refrigerator delivered to the new house, and it's another thing to get all of your pantry staples delivered to the old house that you're then just going to have to pack up and take to the new house. So,
yeah, I did
keep that in mind.
Just a small shopping trip, shopping order, an Instacart order, just a few days before we started the move. And in order to get to the minimum for free delivery, I added a few items, including foolishly canned carbonated water, flavored seltzer.
Yes.
And so I had 2 12 packs of that sitting on the counter. And first we had to maneuver around them. They were on the island. We had to maneuver around them for several days to get at things we were trying to pack. And finally it was, okay, can we make room for these in this load?
For crying out loud, go, these man.
Darn things that I should not have ordered right before the move. Right.
I know, right? And ultimately, you know, if you think about that can of green beans that cost you 69 cents or whatever, and then you're paying $1 a pound to move the stuff to the new house. And so particularly if you're going across country where, you know, it's costing you a bunch of money to get that stuff on the truck, there is no reason for you to take staples with you that you can replace much cheaper than you can pay. You know, you've already bought them and then pay to ship them across the country as well. Like that's
And I think, you know, in talking about planning for the move, one of the things you can do if you're doing adequate planning up front is say, we'll do no grocery shopping after this date. We'll make an effort to use up everything we can. Use up the canned goods. Use up the all the packages. Anything bulky, try to use it up. Try not to replace it. Try to do without for those last couple of weeks.
Yeah, it's not going to be forever. It's just going to be for a little bit.
Because we had to, on the cross country move, of course, every open bottle of sauce or seasoning, any open bottle
of truck.
Liquid had to go in the car.
Mm-hmm.
And boy, did we have a lot of those.
Right. Well, if you think about all of the, they don't want liquid at all in the truck anymore, because if it leaks in a box and that box is near a piece of your furniture, it's going to leak on your furniture, and they don't want to be responsible for that. They don't want clearly the cleaning chemicals, you don't want them leaking, but you also don't want the olive oil leaking, and you don't want, the bath soap to be leaking as well and getting on something. And so they are going to tell you that you can't have any liquids in there. And I know some of you have packed some anyway, and I get it. But we're going to, mostly I'm going to coach everybody that I'm working with to move. That's all got to go in the car. And so we isolate and pull all that stuff that's liquid. And then that all becomes a transport job for us personally in the car. And, it's in service to your own furniture. It's keeping your own stuff from being ruined. And it creates this big mountain of things to be moved. And so minimizing how many chemicals you take with you, how much, leftover olive oil you got in the cabinet, all those soy sauces and whatever. If you're a big sauce guy like Ed, a half of their car was full of all of the liquids that they couldn't put in the cross country truck. So that's part of the prep, right? So don't add new stuff to the old house. Start thinning down the herd at the old house that there's less to transport.
Isabel said, talk to avid canners about moving. A friend of mine had to move 800 canned jars.
Oh my god. Oh, that's painful. And that's like a inventory of what in essence was free food except for the canning process. And so I see that you wouldn't want to throw those out, but it might be that would be a project, right? That's a lot. Okay. Sorry. I don't have that many. I don't have 800 jars. I cannot even imagine. Clearly they're prolific in the garden and packing up well. I don't know how you wouldn't be able to eat 800 jars either. Like you couldn't get rid of the inventory in any significant way if you start with 800. So, oh my God, unless you gave it all to your friends and started over.
Yeah.
Okay. So here's another step. Here's another thing to remember. You need to evaluate your new space and compare it very carefully to the old and be prepared to be flexible about what makes sense to keep in the new place. So part of how you can do that, we've talked about this in advance, is you need to look at the floor plan of the new place and recognize that the floor plan of the old place is not a one-to-one immediate transfer. Like some of the things, you know, clearly the bed will come out of one bedroom and go into the other bedroom. There's going to be all kinds of random chairs and tables and furniture and bookcases and things that had the perfect wall in the old place that will not have the perfect wall in the new place. And recognizing that stuff in advance by looking at an actual floor plan that's to scale and measuring your furniture and seeing where you're going to lay it out will save you from moving a large piece of furniture from A to B, having the movers come in and go while they're staying there holding it, where do you want that? And then you trying to wedge it in somewhere that it doesn't actually fit so they can put it down. So, and then after they're gone and nobody can lift it, and then it stays there until you can hire somebody to come and move it or take it out because it doesn't work. And so you actually have a tale to tell about the table.
Yeah, we have that. A table that has been in the family for, oh gosh, at least we had it in, we moved it in 1976. So since at least 1976.
And it's been in storage.
Yeah, it's been in storage the last couple of years since one of my sisters sold her house. She moved into storage because the other sister in Chattanooga did not have room for it. Right. And so it's been in storage for a few years, and we were happy to take it into the apartment we moved into last February. We had a great big entertaining space, great big open plan living and dining room, and there was plenty of room for this large oak table. It's about a 72 inch oak table, round,
right? Okay.
With 8 leaves.
Oh my God, really?
Yeah, with all the leaves in it, it would seat about 24 people, something like that.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah, it's enormous.
That's serious.
And beautiful, beautiful oak. And so we moved it into the apartment out of storage. My brother-in-law reassembled it and we cleaned it up and it was fabulous. And Beth and Rich came over and the four of us had dinner at that table, I think one time. And then the lockdown came and there were no more dinners at the table.
There was no more entertaining.
And so then it sat there, you know, Jaime and I used it to eat at all by our lonesome for a year. And the new place just, it doesn't have a formal dining room. It has a small, I guess what you could call a breakfast room attached, you know, next to the kitchen. And it's just not big enough. If we put a 72 inch table in there, we couldn't have anything else, like chairs. And so sadly that fabulous table has to go back to storage, but we just moved it out of the way and moved everything else out around it. And it's now headed off to storage, back to storage today. And we'll keep it because it's a fantastic piece. And someday either we'll move into a place where there's room for it, or Beth and Rich will, or something.
The truth is you have so many siblings that you guys sort of pass furniture around amongst you, which is kind of, you have your own, you know, user category of people that can come and make use of the stuff. And so that's, at least you have a bigger audience. If somebody doesn't have that kind of a village, yeah, that can share amongst the furniture, then it's harder to keep up with something like that. And putting it in storage and paying for it to be in storage for a really long time is an expensive way to keep a family heirloom that nobody can use. And so,
yeah, Well, and
but you guys have it worked out, and you everybody's sharing, and there's lots of potential users in your family, and so that at least makes the likelihood that it'll come out of storage a little bit higher.
Yeah, and of course, we never advocate for putting things in storage if there's any other solution.
Right.
And here, there's not, you know, it's not the only thing in storage, and it's not taking up critical space in storage. Because my sister has a storage space that she uses to keep inventory for the business. So things,
things go in and out of there, all
constantly
the time.
Going in and out. So it's sort of, you know, it's taking up a little of that space, but there's very little incremental cost to adding this table to the,
yeah, that's good. All right.
Loot.
So that at least, they already have, it's a business expense for them to have a storage unit. So
yeah.
You're just, wedging in there, which is different than just having a storage unit full of stuff that you're paying for that things never come out of. So
yeah.
Good solution. And this is a perfect example of what worked in the old house will not work in the new house. You have to be realistic about that. And some things don't need to make the transition. And if you can evaluate that through looking at the floor plan in advance, we've talked about that, and measuring your furniture and see and assigning places for it, get out and draw and figure out where it's going to go and see if it'll actually work. And if you realize it's not going to fit, it's too hard, it's too tight, it's too crowded, you know, this is where you get to let go of one piece of furniture, get to the new house, and then you find a need and you're going to go find a piece of furniture that goes right. You need the table right here or against this slant wall or in this corner or whatever. And like you said, you guys are shopping for a corner piece to right. go in the kitchen that you didn't have, but you need because of the layout of the new place. So there's going to be a little bit of Tetris that happens with your furniture, and knowing that in advance and surrendering big pieces so that you don't move it all, cram it into the new space, and then try to figure out what actually works and move a bunch of stuff back out again will save you some pain and suffering. Okay, here's my last one, and then we'll get to the tittle. You have to be realistic about what kind of time you have to give. So I have a client who is a full-time, she works full-time. Her husband works full-time. She has a small child that requires childcare. They're living in the mother's house who died during 2020. They have to empty and sell this house. They are building a new house that's not complete yet. And they came from their home up in the Northeast. And so there's a house in the Northeast as well that they were living in until they came down to help mom while she was sick. And then she ultimately died. So she has three projects, all layered with grief on top. And she keeps trying to get this project rolling and get out of the house in a timeline. And the timeline that she keeps aiming for is completely unrealistic. She is dedicated during the day. When the kid's home from school, then even if she can take some time off from work, she has to arrange childcare, or the childcare isn't available and we have to work while the kid's there, which is super distracting. Every mother of a toddler knows no child wishes to be ignored when there's people in the house. And so the idea that she's going to have free time to work on it while the kid is at home and unsupervised is completely unrealistic. The other thing was, part of her timeline was in the summertime, she wanted to go home to the old space up in the Northeast, and that they were going to figure out what was going to come down to the new house in Houston and make arrangements for that stuff to be moved. And in her mind, as we went through the timeline, she's like, okay, so we'll do it this week. This week is when we have time to do that. And I'm like, you've lived in that house for some time. You have not packed a thing. You haven't been in the house for a year. You have no idea what's up there. You have not pulled out a drawer or a cabinet or nothing. And you think you're going to pack and make all your moving decisions and do it 100% of the time with a three-year-old in the house while you're off, and it's all going to get done in a week. That's a completely unrealistic evaluation of the project. And I know that she's doing it because she is totally overwhelmed by how much she has to do. And she is still grieving and is finding that pretty incapacitating. And so the result is she has some serious rose colored glasses on about how she's going to be able to wedge this whole job into this little time slot, and it's all going to be fine and it's all going to work out. I'm like, listen to your Auntie Gail. Auntie Gail says it's going to take way longer than that. And I know that you don't want it to take longer than that. I know that what you really want is for it to be able to be done in a week, but that's just lying to yourself. And so we need to plan for you to have more time than that to tackle this project, because that is only how much time you wish it would take or how much time you're willing to work on it, which has nothing to do with how much time it's actually going to take to get it done. So don't be caught on Friday and you're leaving town on Sunday and the house is only half packed and you're not ready and blah, blah, blah. 1,000 bad results from that. So you have to be realistic about how much time you have to give, and don't assume that you're just going to be able to wedge it in your slightly little bits of free space and time. You have to plan to treat this move like a full-time job that it is. And either you take time off to address it, or you hire people to help you, or, you know, you throw money at it in some other way. But ultimately, you have to be real about moving is not a part-time, wedge it in around the edges kind of a job. It is, there's a reason why it takes a moving van and a bunch of people. It's because there's a lot of stuff in there. And if you're going to pack it yourself and not hire the packing out, then you're going to need a lot of time to get that done. So you got to be realistic and don't say, oh, I'll be able to take it off for a week and get it all done. No, you're not. No, you're not, because you already don't want to be moving and you already find it overwhelming, and jamming it up into the smallest little time slot at the very end is just going to be super, super stressful. So be kind to yourself, be realistic, and give yourself a very long lead time, and then be working on it constantly during that time. Don't give yourself a lot of lead time and then ignore it until the last week either. You actually need to be working on it all along as you go. Okay. That is me talking about moving.
All kinds of great comments. And one that I think is particularly useful is Dawn said, I have a situation similar to a move. We're having all of the flooring in our condo replaced.
Which in essence is moving, because you got to get out of the way.
Well, and it's, in fact, it's two moves.
Man.
Because it's out and back in.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, planning adequately and allowing enough time, enough lead time, and also enough time for the pack and the unpack is critical.
And there's no way to get around that. You can't just haphazardly pack that stuff, because you're going to have to physically move it out. You're not going to just be able to shove it around the room. You're going to have to get it out to get out of their way so that you get a good job. You don't want their flooring work to be interfered with, right? So essentially it has to be an empty house again. And so packing that stuff safely so that it can be taken away and brought back without losing half of it is really important. And I know it's like, oh my God, I just packed this stuff and now I'm unpacking it. It's going to feel like wasted effort, but it won't be, I promise.
And you have to meet their date.
Yes.
Because if they show up to do the job and you're not ready, they're not going to wait around and twiddle their thumbs. They're going to go to the next job on their calendar and slot you in a couple of weeks when they have time again, or
yeah, exactly,
a couple of months.
Exactly.
Anita said, one thing I did that worked for me was numbering each box packed and keeping a manifest in a notebook with the number, room it was packed in, and if possible, everything or the most important things in the box.
So you gave yourself sort of a reference list of what was where.
Yeah, when I moved into my new house, all I had to do was look at my list when I was looking for something. That helps with making the unpacking less of a panic.
And for you to put your hands on something when you need it, when you're not fully unpacked. And
yeah,
it does. This is a perfect example of that's a great help, and it requires more time to do it. So in order to accomplish that, you have to start early enough that you can add that processing into the job.
Yeah.
But it is super helpful to have that kind of a list.
There are some apps that will help with that nowadays. Mm. And you can sort of repurpose apps like Evernote, but there are also even some dedicated apps for moving that will
box tracking.
let you, you know, assign a number to a box and then catalog with photographs or voice memos or text all the things you're putting in it as you go along, which might speed that somewhat.
But it's still, that's an extra step that's going to require some time. So you can't just assume that you're going to be able to wedge that in. You got to add time to the timeline for the cataloging.
And you could sort of compromise by only having detailed inventory on certain critical boxes, you know?
Yes.
And more broad categories on the other boxes.
Yeah. Absolutely. Know?
Okay, we probably better move along, get it? I want to remind our viewers and listeners that we have a YouTube channel. If you didn't know that, you probably knew that. And we have more than 150 videos on lots of different organizing topics. Visit cfhou.com/YouTube. And the reason I didn't want to miss this announcement this week is we are getting really, really close to 17,000 subscribers.
Yay!
You too can subscribe to our YouTube channel and click the bell icon next to the subscribe button if you'd like to get notifications when we post new content. And I also want to thank our Patreon subscribers. We still don't have a sign. I'm going to get to that soon, I promise.
You got to stop moving.
Right. If you would like to help support our efforts with a recurring monthly donation, please visit cfhou.com/Patreon, P-A-T-R-E-O-N. Your contributions help us offset the costs of producing this weekly webcast and will also help us fund new projects that we have in the works. And we are in the planning stages of doing some special things just for our Patreon subscribers. We'll talk more about that soon. Okay, let's get to the tittle.
Okay, so the weekly tittle we're calling this Clean Up the Command Post. Everybody has a favorite place to sit when you're at home and at leisure. You likely open the mail there, you watch TV from there, you read books or magazines in that place, and the pets come and sit with you there. This place is what my dad calls the command post. For dad, it's a recliner in front of the TV with a lamp and a trash can, a side table that has a baseball cap, the remotes, a kitchen towel, Kleenex, you get the picture. We all have that space that is the circle of stuff surrounding yourself, relaxing in the center. So this week's tittle is to deconstruct that area. We want to pull all the stuff out and make sure it needs to be there. Throw out any stashed old reading material, old meds, and hidden trash. We sit at leisure and casually add more and more to the piles and the parking spaces around us, but we often don't take things away. So this is where you're going to deconstruct here's this little stack, here's that little pile, pull them out, sort through them. Find the old coupons that have expired. Throw out any, here's an event that was 3 years ago. Here's a piece of paper that never got filed. Here's, you know, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. It's time to dig into that space and find what you've been stashing and refresh it. If you don't have a trash can next to you, you should add a trash can nearby. So this is a great way to manage the trash that you generate because you stay there so much of the time. Having a place to immediately throw the trash will help you in the long run. And if you find that you have a little trash can there and it's always overflowing and it's never enough because you don't throw the trash out frequently enough, it may be time to add a larger trash can, which may not be as aesthetically pleasing, but it also will help you manage the trash better. So think about how often you throw the trash away and versus how big your trash can is. Whoever has the oldest coupon, that is the oldest expired coupon in the stash in the area, wins the prize at the end. Well, let's see how many old here's some Subway coupons from 1993. So see what you got and report back and tell us what the latest one is, and you know, clean up your command post and make it fresh and see how much stuff can go back out that's been accumulated there. It's a perfect place to clear out piles and to find old things that the cat was sitting on your lap and you were not going to go put that thing away right now, and it's been sitting on the side table for 2 years and now you can go put it up. So let's see how it goes. Command post, clean up the command post.
I have one more question from the chat that I want to share and see if you have a quick heuristic or algorithm here. Do you have, this is from Randy, do you have a formula or method for planning moving time? Do you have a shorthand, like number of rooms, number of square feet translates to days or weeks?
That's a good thing to ask. Okay, so let me just think about that for a minute. If I am
if you had to just ballpark for someone.
Yeah, I mean, if you imagine that professional movers are going to send three people, and so my house of 2,000 square feet, I had three guys packing for 11 hours. So that's 33 hours to pack a 2,000 square foot house with no judgment calls, right? So those guys came and they packed everything in front of them. They didn't make any judgments. So my job in advance was to make sure that I wanted them to pack everything. And so I spent 2 months working on going all the way around the house and looking for things that could be subtracted that I didn't want to take with me on the job. And so, on the move. So that 2 month process was me going every day and looking in some area and working on something. And I would say, depending on how dense it is and how long it's been since the last time you've done it, 5 hours per room. I would say some of them will take less. Some of them will probably take a lot more, like the closet that I was describing with all the paper stash. That's probably going to take 60 hours by the time we're done getting through all the paper. But a general room, here's the bathroom, here's the closet, here's the bedroom. If you go through it in some detail, looking for things that can be thrown out, recycled, given away, I would say 5 hours a room would be a good ballpark.
Okay.
And that's not packing. That's just looking.
Just evaluating. Okay.
Right.
I put you on the spot with that one. So we can revisit it.
Okay.
If you want.
All right.
We're out of time. I want to remind everyone that we'll be back next week, Tuesday, April 13th at noon U.S. Central Time, live in Zoom and streaming on Facebook. We had a question about the garage recording still in process.
Oh, yes. I have been. It's on my list now, and I'm reviewing the rest of the – we got lots of hours, but you can't watch 16 hours. So
no, we don't want our viewers still to reviewing
and finding the pieces that we want. So.
Okay. If you're watching this on YouTube, we would love for you to join us live. To receive notifications about our upcoming events, we invite you to join the meetup group by visiting cfhou.com/meetup. You can also follow us on Facebook by going to cfhou.com/Facebook or subscribe to our mailing list by visiting cfhou.com/subscribe. We love to hear from you, so please keep those questions and topic suggestions and comments coming on YouTube, Facebook, or anywhere that you find us. And you can always reach us through our website at clutterfairhouston.com.
Thanks for joining us, you guys. We really appreciate seeing you again, and we will be back next week and hope to see you then. Bye.
Bye.